our thoughts and actions should be focused on showing that appreciation for the blessings we have been given. You know, this past Thursday, we all got together, family and friends, to observe Thanksgiving. And this weekend is one of the most traveled. People go far and wide to come together to be with family and friends. The tradition of Thanksgiving is often traced back to the Pilgrims, who settled at the Plymouth Plantation in December of 1620. You probably remember when you're in school how you draw the pilgrim hats and the turkeys and the like, and read the story about how the friendly Indians helped the pilgrims survive that first terrible winter. They had suffered severe hardship, while many even died before arriving in the New World. They did have a successful harvest that next year and celebrated it with a feast. Even though it was not called Thanksgiving at that time, it was a harvest festival commonly celebrated in England and Europe at this time of year, when time was set apart to give thanks for blessings received. There were other Thanksgiving celebrations as early as 1607 in the area of the Virginia Commonwealth, at Jamestown in 1610, and other New England settlements. These early Thanksgiving festivals were declared in order to give thanks and praise to God for the abundance which He had bestowed upon its recipients. Our first national proclamation was made in 1777, during the early years of the Revolutionary War. I'd like to read a few quotes from that proclamation. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a few quotes out of it. It said, "For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God." That one sentence alone has a lot to say. It talks about how we are to adore, and that it is the duty of man to do so, for the superintending, for the guidance that we have from the providence of Almighty God. Continuing, "To acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for the benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need." Continuing on later in that proclamation, "It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December, next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance. To secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace, that it may please Him to prosper the trade and manufactures of the people and the labor of the husbandman, that our land may yield its increase, to take schools and seminaries of education so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under His nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consists of righteousness, peace, and joy. It's incredible how much this proclamation said in so few words. We see that they acknowledged God as supreme in their life through his superintending providence, and that it was their duty to adore him. The early settlers of this continent and the founders of this nation looked to God as the benefactor of their blessings. They knew that their blessings were a direct result of their obedience to him. It is interesting to note that they asked God to blot out of remembrance their manifold sins. In contrast, our nation today has cast God out of our schools, out of our public square, and out of our government. Our nation has forgotten God in the collective sense and has failed to acknowledge him as the one who provides so much for us in our daily lives. In Romans 1, verse 20 to 23, we read how Paul is writing to the ancient Romans and how the people at that time had also forgotten God. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Recall how Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 3 states that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Doesn't that describe the environment that we find ourselves in today? They are lovers of themselves instead of loving God and his way of life. People are covetous nowadays, drawn away by the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the cares of the world, and kept from focusing on the true riches. People today are boasters and proud, and the pride of life have fogged their vision from letting them see who they really are. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. Yes, we truly live in perilous times. And one of the traits of people today is being unthankful and lacking in gratitude. When we read of the terrible strife that is occurring in various parts of the world, our hearts go out to these people. We see the lives of millions of people disrupted, changed forever. We see their grief, we see their sorrow, and we see their pain. What thoughts go through our mind? Do we yearn in all our being for the establishment of God's kingdom upon this earth? Do we not want Christ to return quickly so that mankind will no longer need to suffer the evil being perpetrated upon them? Do we reassess our problems in light of what these people have suffered? Are our troubles and trials really the mountains that we have made them out to be? Does a deep sense of gratitude come over us? And are we truly grateful for what we have? I looked up the meaning of the word grateful or gratitude in the Webster's Dictionary. It started with gratitude. And it says, a feeling of appreciation for kindness or favor received. The state of being grateful. While grateful is thankfulness, showing gratitude, comforting and pleasant. Synonyms to grateful are appreciative, beholden, gratified, indebted, obliged, and thankful. How grateful, how thankful are we for the kindness or favors that we have received from God and from others? A big part in worshiping God is giving Him the thanks that He deserves. How grateful are we for our calling and to be given a part in His soon coming kingdom, in His coming kingdom of God, to be a part of His family. When we look at all the people that there are in the world, and we look at how few have been called and chosen at this time, and we see that there is a special calling, do we fully comprehend the magnitude of that calling? If we were to look forward in time to the second resurrection, there may be 50 billion people resurrected to life. When you compare that to how many people God has chosen from the beginning to be part of that family of His now, we are a very small number. It comes down to probably 50,000 per person. If there were a million people called from the beginning of time. But most likely it's probably closer to 150,000 people have probably been called from the beginning of time. We don't know the exact number, but it's an immense amount of people that we will be able to instruct in the coming kingdom of God. I'm reminded that our calling is truly a miracle. I'm reminded in Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46, that there are two parables. It states, and the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So the kingdom of heaven, our calling, is like finding a hidden treasure. And getting rid of, selling all that we have, and going and buying that treasure. Again in verse 45, again the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Do we look at our calling as having found a treasure? Or a pearl of great price, and then selling, forsaking all that we have, so that we can obtain it? In Colossians 3, verse 15, we read, Colossians 3, and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and to be thankful. Yes, we are called into one body, the body of Christ, and we are to be thankful for that calling. Do we thank God in our prayers for that calling? And do we take it seriously, or have we become accustomed to these truths, and have we started taking them for granted? Are we thankful for the truth that we understand and in knowing that this is Satan's world, and that for the hope that dwells within us, the only hope for humanity and all mankind is the return of Jesus Christ? Are we thankful for the future that lies before us and our great part in that future. A time when we can teach all of humanity the truth of how to live and how to have true and lasting peace and how to secure the blessings of liberty for all peoples. We look forward to a time when there will be no more war, no more suffering, no more pain. Mankind will have the scales removed from their eyes, and they will be able to see that man's ways only lead to pain and suffering. We cannot fix this world, nor should we want to. We don't want to become enmeshed in the backroom dealings of the politics of this world. We don't want to have to make compromises with God's way of life. The politics of this world is based on greed. It is based on getting and not based on God's way of give. It is a government. It is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, but rather a government for the political donors and the vested corporate interests. When we pray to God, is our conversation with Him filled with thanksgiving, or do we bring a list of wants and complaints to Him? How would you feel if whenever you talked to someone, that they were always whining about something that they wanted? As a parent, and your child came to you to ask you for something, and your answer was, not today, or not yet, but in the future. However, how would you feel if they came to you day after day, requesting that same thing that they wanted? Would that not make you feel like, well, I told you I would fill that request, but not yet. Do you think I have forgotten? In much the same way, our prayers should be filled with thanksgiving and praise, and not so much reminding God day after day of the things we want. How grateful are we for the written word of God, the Bible? Today we are the most blessed to have this written word in abundance. We have the capability of even downloading it to electronic devices and can carry it with us wherever we may go. It has not always been this way. In many times in the past, people did not have access to the Holy Scriptures as we do today. People often gave their lives to have the Bible. How often do we open our Bibles and allow God to speak to us? Sometimes we become so busy in our day-to-day activities that we often neglect reading our Bibles. Do we thank God for the words of life that He has given us? How grateful are we for the Sabbath? When Friday night arrives, are we thankful that God has given us a time of rest, a time to rejoice in the blessings of the Sabbath that He has bestowed upon us? And do we look at the Sabbath as a day of delight? In Isaiah 58 and verse 13, we read, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How often in prayer do we thank God for the Sabbath that He has given us? I have often wondered what I would be doing if I didn't have the Sabbath What would I be doing and how would I be spending my time? I observe my coworkers and my non-church friends and see what they are doing. And most often than not, they are pursued in endless pursuits of pleasure. They fill their Friday nights and Saturdays doing their own thing. You know, we live in a very hedonistic society, and it seems that Satan's world has no end to the distractions that can divert our attention away from the Sabbath. With the internet, social media, and the endless stream of papers, magazines, and books, we can easily fill our time reading and pursuing or perusing all sorts of other literature, our own words and those of others. Do we turn our feet away from doing our own pleasure and call the Sabbath a delight? Or just watch the clock waiting for the Sabbath to end? What about our conversations on the Sabbath? Do we speak our own words or do we speak of God's truth and the blessings that He has granted to us? And with these words, lift up and encourage one another. In Colossians 3, and verse 16 through 17, we read, Colossians 3, verse 16 through 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. How grateful are we for the mercy and grace that God has bestowed upon us. Without God's mercy and grace, we would have no hope within us, for we have all fallen short of His commands. When it comes right down to it, it is only God's grace and mercy that will see us through to the end. Nothing that we have done or ever will do will earn us the right of inheritance in God's kingdom. It is only through Christ's shed blood that will cover our sins will we then be counted as righteous. This is often used by others that are not within our calling to say that we don't have to do anything and that Christ did it all for us. Well, that doesn't mean that. It means that we need to strive to put sin out of our life, but that doesn't mean that anything we do will qualify us. It's only because of God's mercy and grace. When we pray to God, do we thank Him for that grace? You know, God is a family, and He wants to add to His family. He has called us to be a part of that family. And do we thank God for our families? Do we also take our family for granted? We may take for granted the things that people do for us each and every day. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if they were not there? We often go through our life without expressing gratitude for all things that our family does for us. Wives and mothers are most often neglected for all the things that they do on a daily basis. Their selfless love for the family often goes unrecognized. They toil day and night, often the burden of raising a family and helping to provide income to make ends meet is often overlooked. How appreciative are we for the daily tasks that are performed day in and day out, year after year? even in times of celebration, like this last day of Thanksgiving. They are often preceded with days filled with work, a preparation for a meal that is soon forgotten. A way to show appreciation is not only to express our gratitude, but to pitch in and help out. It's amazing how many hands make light work. Even with our church activities, we should show our gratitude to those who plan and execute the many tasks that are needed in order for these activities to be successful. When we all pitch in together to help to do those things that need to be done, we support each other to get to know each other better and make the tasks lighter for those charged with the responsibility. Lending a helping hand and share the joy of serving others. One last item that I want to touch on today is being appreciative of the jobs and the work that God has given us. We may often go through our day complaining about the mundane tasks that we have to perform and the work that we do. We may not realize that our attitude and approach to our job may be what is stopping us from being given other opportunities for advancement. How do we approach our job? Do we approach it with a sense of thanksgiving and gratitude? A positive attitude is easily recognized, and so is a negative attitude. If you were a boss and you had several people working for you, who would you give a raise or promotion to? Someone who is positive and thankful for their job, or someone who is constantly complaining or in a negative attitude? As we approach our daily activities, how we do that will help determine whether or not we are successful in our jobs and in our life. Having a thankful attitude to all we do will give us favor in our employer's eyes. Having a positive, thankful attitude will open many doors before us. I had titled my message, The Art of Gratitude. So what is the art of gratitude? Well, what is art? Art is the expression of our mind and soul through words, music, and our behavior. Does the way that we express ourselves reflect a mind and a soul filled with gratitude? If not, now is the time to start. As Paul instructed the Colossians in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You could also put the word gratitude in place of the word grace. It could read, let your speech be also filled with gratitude, full of appreciation and thanksgiving. Now, as we close this weekend of Thanksgiving, let us all be thankful for all the many bountiful blessings that God has given to us, and look forward to the time in the future when His Son will return to establish His wonderful kingdom upon this earth so that all mankind can rejoice and be thankful for all that God has given to us.